Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour Football Show, brought to you by our friends in AIB. Huge weekend of action. It's Dublin versus Kerry. It's the biggest game of the year so far. I don't think anybody would argue with that. With me today are Mikey Stafford. He's taken Conan's place. He's better well known on the Hurling podcast. We have a regular Thursday man, Barry Call, and we have our special guest, Michael Quinlivan. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me.
A little bit nervous, you were saying there earlier on. Yeah, more nervous than Croke Park.
The palms are getting a bit going. Right now, so.
First off, Michael, what's it like marking Lee Keegan? Did you feel targeted when Lee Keegan ran over to you?
I think the issue was the fact that there was Barry Moran standing in front of you and that kind of invades your space even more. Lee's a very good man marker. I think he's shown that this year, and even though adapting to play full back is not easy as well because it's a very specialised position. So, look, it's good to pitch yourself against the best, and he's up there.
Did you expect
with the very
him
best.
To?
Come yeah, he was. It was said during the week. Yeah.
We said it here, actually. Yeah, he must have been listening.
Liam Kearns tunes in. I'd say twice a week. That's all. It was said it was either going to be him or if Kevin Keane was playing, it was going to be one or the other. You know, having to track his runs from the full back line is a pretty big task in itself, but. You know, I enjoyed it anyway immensely, and you know, hopefully, I get another chance to go at him again at some time.
He failed you a couple of times early on. Did you maybe think he could have picked up a card, which would have made maybe life a bit easier than as the game went on?
Yeah, maybe. You know, obviously, we had a couple of cards go against us as well. But you know, it is what it is. Like you know, if you're going attacking someone and he takes you down, it's a foul. Like I wouldn't be getting too wound up by what way the referee went about it.
Yeah, he's a tendency to foul. Did Barry Moran going in there surprise you a little bit? Like, I mean, it kind of ruined any high ball option into you.
Yeah, it was a very big surprise, though, to be honest. Even after he was named before the match, we still felt that maybe Kevin McLaughlin would play as the sweeper and that Barry would play a midfield and maybe Mark Peter or, you know, maybe Seamus O'Shea was detailed to Mark Peter. But, you know, it was a bit of a surprise and maybe it did take us a while to get used to it and probably took out one of our big weapons, maybe.
Yeah, and did you think on your feet on, because there was only one ball really went in long and he caught it with one hand in the second half. Were you spooked by seeing him in there? Because no long balls went into you or Connor at all, really.
Yeah, I don't know, like he is a very big target when you look up inside there, you know. And you probably can't even see myself or Connor, you know, from behind it. So, it affected our forward play a small bit. I still feel we got through them.
You ran the ball very well.
Yeah,
like,
we ran
you know,
the ball
much
differently. It was an execution thing.
He's a unique kind of sweeper. He's like Colm Cavanagh in that. Yeah. You know, he's not even pretending to be protecting the half back line. He's there as a fourth in the full back line, and I'd say it's fairly claustrophobic in there with him.
Yeah. Look, it's a different question. All right. Something probably we haven't faced, and you know, I'm sure if other teams are looking at us going into the future, it might be something else that they'll probably look at as well and try to put a big man maybe in front. But you know, it shows. I think that the thing that I took from it going forward for Mayo especially is like they've adapted their game and looked at the opposition every single game they've played this year.
Yeah,
you know, they looked at us, and you know, we got joy with high ball against maybe Derry and against Galway as well, and they changed their game. You know, took Kevin McLaughlin, who has been a recognised sweeper, out, and I think that's a very, very good trait to have going into a final, because you know, you look over the last few years, especially Kerry in 2014 against Donegal, who adapted their game completely.
Yeah.
I think for Mayo going forward, it was a big plus, but obviously, you know, we came up a small bit short.
Well, they didn't want to lose another classic semi-final, you know, or come out the wrong side of a high-scoring game. So
I think that's it. You know. What about Mayo going forward? What about Tip going forward? Will you be on the phone to Stephen O'Brien, or will you leave that up to Cairns, or will you be saying, "Come on, mate! Like, what good is what you're doing? Like, this is madness. We're actually going somewhere."
Yeah, look, it's an awkward one because it is. Like, I know, looking in from the outside, it might seem like it's hurling against football in the county, or even hurling against football. But like, Stephen, I grew up with Stephen, you know, we played in the same minor team for two or three yeah. years. You know, they are some of your really good friends, like, you know, and if he makes a decision, I'm going to respect that. Like, you know, obviously it's the same with Seamus, and Seamus has just gotten his break this year, but, you know, I'm sure there probably will be other people in the county that will be picking up the phone to him. I'm sure there was probably a few that maybe did it this year as well. But, you look, we'll take whoever we can get back next year. Obviously, you know, it's moved on pretty quick. You know, Jimmy went away to New Zealand yesterday yeah. and Peter's going away this weekend. So, you know, we went back to club football on Wednesday. So it does move on, and hopefully we can build on it going into next year.
But people never mention him. We'll move on from this soon. You always hear Stephen O'Brien, and look, I think it's ridiculous that he is not getting a game with the Hurlers, and a talent like him is just completely gone for a year. But Bill Maher came the other way, so like, you've actually taken him from yeah. the Hurlers, so like, it can work. It can, not as much, I understand, but like yeah. Bill Maher is such a good, great player for you this year.
Exactly. Bill has been phenomenal.
He's lightning,
obviously,
isn't he?
He just, but he glides across the ground yeah. like, the way he solos the ball. Yeah, I think Liam remarked before the game saying he actually solos the ball quicker than he runs himself, so, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he's just brought such an impetus into our half back line this year going forward. He probably wouldn't be happy with the red card last day, you know. I was talking to him after the game and he said, you know, I just did something a bit stupid, that's what he said, and he'll learn from that and come back. But yeah, you know, when he came the opposite way this year, it definitely did give us a big boost. And I think, you know, for a lot of people now, there is probably two, you know, recognised, how do I put this, you know, opportunities to do well in
yeah,
the own goal. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which is definitely a plus for us.
Yeah, definitely. Boys, I want to talk to you. We'll leave Tipperary for there.
Yeah. I think it's getting a bit painful.
You can relax. Not getting painful. You're like, okay, Stephen O'Brien, I don't know what I'm going to say here. I want to talk about this Mayo club thing, lads. And this is something people have really strong opinions on. And I can see both sides of this argument 100%. Like, I can completely see the Mayo side, the Mayo player side of it, as in they want the month. You play the club 3 weeks out, then you're recovering the second week, and suddenly it's 2 weeks out before you properly, you know, yeah. start doing something. You're losing stuff. Then you have the other side of it saying, Jesus Christ, there's a 13-day rule there for a reason. Like, this is a month. Yeah. And if people, so many people have these championship structure ideas that kind of combine both and say one weekend, one week off, this is 4 weeks and you can't even fit club in. So I can yeah. understand club players in Mayo saying this is bullshit, but I can understand the Mayo county team saying we want yeah. all our lads. So yeah. I don't really know what side to come down on.
All those club players in Mayo, the thing is, you know, we all know Mayo fans are as passionate as they get. They are all Mayo fans, and any of them that I spoke to, the club players, they didn't mind that the matches were called off, but what really pissed them off was the fact that less than a week earlier they had been assured whatever the result of the Mayo Tipperary game, these games are going ahead. So what's frustrated the club players is not the games being called off, it's the fact that they were put on at all in the first place.
But yeah.
Those games were never going to go ahead. You know, they're playing in an All-Ireland final. They haven't won one since, you know, I don't know, 150 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's no way that those games were going to go ahead, I don't think. I mean, you had about 18 players playing in competitive matches, and you know yourself, it's a different mindset as a player playing in an All-Ireland semi-final yeah. against Tipperary on a Sunday and then playing for your club 7-8 days later. People might argue it differently, but if you put yourself in the position of a player, it's a different mindset, different team, you're togging out, and you're probably minding yourself a bit as well, and that's how injuries can actually happen, knowing that you have an All-Ireland final 3 weeks later.
Speaking from a county point of view, if we were to beat Mayo, and let's say we were out in a month, I wouldn't want to play a game. And that'd be like, we played Wednesday night last night against Ballyvoreen, you know, but had we won, there was no way I would have played that game, you know.
Yeah.
I saw George Caffigy's thing and it really did resonate with me. The fact is, like, you have to have such a single mindedness when you're going for such a big prize like an All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
That month, you know, the two or three training sessions this week could be the difference between them winning a final. And I think the people in Mayo understand that. But there needs to be just a universal rule across the board in regard to those championships that, you know, that is adhered to in every year, because otherwise we're always going to be
the county board's fault.
Yeah, the county board's fault. But it is a fair say that they don't mix then, Michael, because there's always an excuse. And I understand it's a month, it was never going to happen. But your players decided not to play because you're in an All-Ireland semi-final. And, like, that's your biggest game in, 81 years, whatever. Yeah. So there's always an excuse. Laois get to a Leinster final, it's their first Leinster final. Like, like, how can the club scene go along when the professional scene has gotten so professional and county managers go, I don't want them going back. God knows what they're going to be doing for the week. They could be playing with a junior club. Like, how can the two work side by side? It has to wait until one is over and the other finishes.
I think
has this proven that this cannot, they cannot work, you know, alongside each other?
Yeah, I think club league can run in parallel with during the county season, and that's fine. And if county players, nearly by accident or design or whatever, are available for some club league games, that's fine. But club championship is a whole different matter, and I think there should be separation, and there has to be a gap there even to allow clubs to integrate their players back into the club scene. Because, you know, throwing them, you know, Dublin, for example, of five or six Ballymun guys, throwing them back into the club, Ballymun's club championship team 7 or 8 days after an All-Ireland final won't be ideal. Now, we play Ballymun in club championship. But, like, it's not, like, it really isn't, you know. It's very difficult on the current bunch of club players, because there's five or six lads being dropped, so they're going to affect their morale. And then, as you mentioned earlier, just the whole mindset change.
But Barry, are you happy with the structure of the Dublin Club Championship? Because it's straight knockout. It's anachronism at this stage. There's very few of them, and I suppose it's partly born out of the fact that the Dublin Intercounty team are in action for so much of the summer that you can't have group stages. Wouldn't club players in Dublin prefer to have more meaningful championship matches as well?
Aye, absolutely. I mean, going back a few years, 2005, it was straight knockout, and we drew. We'd won the Leinster Club the previous year, but Kilmacud Crokes had won the Leinster Club the year before that, and we drew each other in the first round. We lost by a point, and we were gone in April. You know, so it was a nightmare scenario. Yeah. And then similarly, you had clubs like Plunkett's are gone in April, and obviously that was a big thing for, like, Alan Brogan going back to play with his club, hoping he'd be playing club football September, October. So, but every year the Dublin County Board is, they try and fix two rounds of senior club championship for either April or May, and that means they whittle down their intention is to whittle it down from 32 to 16 to 8. Now, it makes no sense that potentially 24 senior club teams are gone in May. You know,
it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And I've pointed this before, and people say it's anti-Dublin. Mm. It's just ridiculous that Alan Brogan played one championship game at club level. But that's another thing. The county championships in Mayo are now fixed for the week after the All-Ireland. I've never won an All-Ireland, Barry, but, like, I mean, how can you even think about a club championship match that week? And four matches have to be played before October 30th when they're out in the Connacht Club Championship. Mm. So they've 5 weeks to play off four games. Now, I don't know, like, where do you fit in hurling games there? You know, is there many Jew lads? It's just a logistical nightmare what they're after putting on themselves.
It is. We had this issue in 2011. We won the All-Ireland. Now, we had about a 12 or 13 break to the first round of the championship. We played in Fianna. Now, we have obviously had a week of celebrations. I didn't have to go back training until the Monday night afterwards, so I had 8 days off. And then we played five rounds of championship in Dublin. Now, we end up winning all the rounds, which is great because you build up a bit of momentum and stuff like that. Managed to get over Portlaoise in the Leinster Club semi-final.
My last game. Absolutely robbed that day we were.
Woolies farewell game.
But left it on great terms, didn't
they? Yeah, but it is turning into a bit of a blitz, isn't it, really? Like, you know, you're running off in a month. You know, if you pick up a muscle injury and you're out for 3 weeks after maybe training for the previous 7 months, you could end up missing, you know, the most important time of the year.
For a lot of the counties around the country, though, I think the league, you know, fair enough, in Dublin, I think the league is pretty well run, and it is very competitive. You know,
it
from
is.
Speaking to a few lads, probably the same in Kerry, you know, you saw it, even we played them in the Munster final, and there was a couple of their lads who had played league maybe the day before. Because it's available to them. But for a lot of counties around the country, the league is looked on with a small bit of disdain, and, you know, there's lads there who, you know, just because it's league, like, they won't really give it everything that they have. And at the end of the day, there's probably 8 league games, 9 league games there for you during the year, but everyone looks on the championship. And, you know, something might have to be done with the leagues around the country for a lot of the smaller counties, that maybe they might combine and have a league basis for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 counties together. You know, like, if you look at ourselves, maybe ourselves Limerick and Clare, or ourselves Limerick and Waterford, and then you can maybe start to have a proper league basis with good games for a lot of the club teams around the country.
That'd be a great idea, like a regional league that's run off. Imagine the interest that would create, you know, amongst players. Suddenly you're playing clubs, like, you don't have to win your province to play other clubs. And like you said, increase the interest in those leagues. Give them 8 great games that they can look forward to.
Yeah.
And then when the championship finishes, let's get into the club championship. You know, and like there has to be something like that, because I mean club players are being like, there's no point in saying and Michael, you're like, I only realise it, and Barry only probably realised when you finish playing intercounty, because you're blinkered when you're at intercounty level, and it's great fairy tale stuff for you, because when you finish at a county you're into the club and you don't realise what these lads have been arsing around, not able to take holidays, not knowing what to do,
the frustration
of them, and you honestly have to finish to realise that it's an absolute dog's life at club, club level. It really is.
Yeah, I think I heard enough about that last night. Lads looking for a match.
Yeah, but you're like Adder just winded. Jeez, lads, calm down.
But like one small step that they tried to bring in was to move the All-Ireland finals forward by 2 or 3 weeks, which would have alleviated a bit of the pain and would have been maybe one step out of five that they'd have to take. I'm sure they didn't even get that through. So
like, and that's just, that's the bizarre thing. Yeah. And we don't want to get into a championship restructures thing, because obviously the county season is too long. And it's just messed up, lads. Like, there's no solution to this. And I just want to finish on this, because I tweeted this out the other day. If they don't change the inter-county season and shorten it, if it stays at 9 months, like, is it going to get to a stage where at the start of the year, players in a county are going to say, are you available for county or would you prefer to play a club? And actually have to make a decision at the start of the year. Because when the inter-county season goes 9 months and when the county managers have so much power, how can you possibly do it without saying, what's your choice? Michael, county or club, you'll go club, right? Well, you're with your club for the year and that's it. And make that decision. And like, that's a solution. Like, I know people get, you know, go crazy when they hear this, but like, it is a solution to it.
No, it is. I mean, but the way I'm looking at it as well, if you wanted to be a club manager, it actually puts you off wanting. The appeal isn't there because you don't actually know where your county players stand. It's such a hassle. I've seen it in my own club, you know, wondering, is Paddy Andrews available for this game or not? And, you know, it's sort of, it has a negative effect on the whole squad, you know, and just, it's a nightmare scenario because you just don't know what's, and you're training for 9 months, and then given the Ballymun example, you're trying to integrate five lads into it. Yeah. So the appeal
is, but if you choose, everyone has football for 9 months. The intercounty lads have football for 9 months. They know exactly how their year is planned out. And the club scene has football for 9 months. They know exactly how their year is planned out. Like, in a, you will hate this because your club is really, you know, really strong. But at the same time, would there be any appetite for that out there?
Certainly not at club level anyway, I don't think. Especially you look at, you know, a lot of the clubs, you know, my own club included, Commercials, who, you know, I've played with since I was 6 years old, and they bring me the whole way till I'm minor or under 21, and then suddenly, oh, that's it, I'm not playing with them for 10 years before I go back.
Yeah.
Do you know, I just
you can pick and choose the years, you know, you can go one on, one off. Keep everyone happy.
I'll go county. It's going to be a big blow to the Portobello Junior C's, but I'm going to commit to Wexford next year. That's it.
I know. Listen, this is one that I don't know if it has that much. It's almost the shock value of it. I'm thinking if this got a bit of support, that it would nearly shock people into saying, this, you know, we need to do something about this because nobody really wants lads choosing. But like, it is a solution to that.
I reckon there'd be a lot of county teams around the country who wouldn't be feeling. Because
I reckon they'd lads would go with their clubs.
Yeah.
Really?
I really do, yeah. Mm. I think a lot of teams around the country, that they wouldn't be able to, you can't turn your back on the lads.
Now, do you know what? I think that's a cliche.
Can't turn your back on them. Like,
I don't know. I think lads could. Like, I honestly think this, and I hear lads throwing it out all the time, all my career. Oh, the club's more important. Like, you're a lot more nervous for county games. Like, I mean, I used to say this as well. We won a Leinster club at Portlaoise, and I saying, oh, this means more to me. Did I really believe in it? I just thought that's what's always said. I'm just going to go along with it. Yeah. But did it mean more to me than winning?
It was a loaded question. Like,
it didn't mean more to me. It meant the same to me. You know, I don't know. If the county setup is good, it's like a club. And I guarantee you your county setup is like a club because you've come up from underage and you're so close together that you have a club bond. And like, I mean, you know, I don't know. Like,
it depends on your own, I think, circumstance. Yeah. How good of your club setup is and how good is your county setup. You know, you know, like maybe for a few years there, Cross McGlenn's setup could have been better than maybe what the Armagh county setup was, and then vice versa for a lot of
counties. But it's a change of mindset that's needed away from, you know, turning your back. You'd have to change the entire structures of the GA so that you could change people's mindsets, that it wasn't a case of turning your back. It's just picking or choosing one or the other. And, well, I like your idea. I think that's an incredibly difficult thing to do in the GAA.
Yo, the split,
just to change mindsets.
It's difficult to know. Like, I mean, it is true, club is so important, but like I said, it depends on the actual setup that you have. Alright lads, we'll leave it there because I want to give our last call for our live show that's in Killarney. And on the last podcast, I forgot to actually say, I said it's in McSorley's, and I forgot to say what town or what county McSorley's is in. So there's actually two McSorley's in Dublin.
And so it's in actually, neither of them.
It's in neither of the ones in Dublin. So it's McSorley's in Killarney. We have a fantastic show lined up for you. We're really excited. We have some Kerry legends, including Jack O'Shea, Declan Sullivan, Dara O'Shea, Jimmy Deanhan, amongst others. It's starting at 8 o'clock. We'll be going on for about an hour and a half. It promises to be a great night, so hope you can all come along. All right, up next, we're going to do some analysis.
You ready? Let's go.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens, yeah. And it does happen, yeah. But I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot. And the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show didn't look great, there was maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out Terry, but unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
AIB, back in club and county.
Lads, reading the Kerry pundits during the week, I was reading Dara O'Shea, and he was like, this Kerry team do not want to be remembered as the team that couldn't beat Dublin. It was really strong language in it. It was almost like saying, you know, this really hurts us. And it was very believable how much it hurts. And I was reading Bomber Liston's piece in The Independent today, and he says, everything that Kerry football stands for is at stake here. Like, I mean, it's very strong language coming out of the kingdom, but like, I mean, they've been humiliated long enough for Dublin, and like, all the talk is how they're going to do it. So Barry, you're a regular pundit, so I'm going to show it to you first. How are they going to do it?
Well, I hope they don't do it. Obviously, supporting Dublin on Sunday. Yeah, of course.
He's wearing a blue shirt, by the way, everybody.
He hopes they don't do it because the Ballymun Kickens lads will be tired after.
I mean, look, it's a huge game. Sell out on Sunday. Dublin Kerry doesn't come any bigger than that. So, but for this Kerry group of players, and a few of the older guys, you know, are probably looking at their final year, potentially Donaghy, Mark O'Shea, O'Mahony, Gooch, you know. Incredible players, some of the best over the last 30-40 years.
What's their game plan going to be? Because the last few times just simply hasn't worked.
No, that's true. I think Donaghy will go inside. I mean, we've been talking about it all year, the absence of Rory O'Carroll. Dublin have survived so far to date on it. A couple of, you know, tough enough moments here and there, but nothing really substantial. Kieran Donaghy inside has a two-man full forward line with Geaney, I think, can cause Dublin problems, particularly if the right type of ball is going in. You know, Michael Murphy was in there the last day. It wasn't good ball coming in from the Donegal middle third. Kerry are much better at playing that angle diagonal ball at the right trajectory that can cause, you know, full back line players difficulties. They're sort of backpedaling, not too sure what to do. But I think that two man full forward line with James O'Donoghue sniffing around the D could potentially get them a goal or two, and they will need goals to win on Sunday.
Oh, 100% they need goals. See, I wouldn't go with the two man full forward line, because if they bring a lad out, Dublin won't follow it, and they'll rejig their back line around and get Keane O'Sullivan free. So I think they have to go with three in there, right? And I think, like, if they withdraw their half forward line too far, you can't let Keane free. You have to try and keep Keane on it.
Darren O'Sullivan or something like that.
The long balls to Donaghy are not working if it's just being knocked down and Keane's getting the break. You know, so Donaghy in there, I agree with. I think they have to play him in there, but they have to have the right structure in there, as you know, to make
they can't be outnumbered.
To get the best out of Donaghy. It's you know, it's how to do that, because if you leave your six forwards orthodox, you've no protection back there, and Dublin's forwards are so strong. Like, it's really hard to get Dublin in that way. Like, I mean, you give them Keane O'Sullivan to protect your own defence, and then you're screwed the other end.
Yeah, I think, well, Paul Murphy and Donico Walsh will definitely go back. The question is who plays in that the other role in the half forward line. Is it either Darren O'Sullivan or is it the Gooch? I reckon you get 70 minutes between the two of them, which would probably look at maybe 40-45 minutes Darren O'Sullivan running at Keane O'Sullivan, and then ask him a different question for 25 minutes with the Gooch dropping off him and trying to get on the ball and find pockets of space.
But you see, the thing about this is, and I think about this, I've did some analysis on this on Setanta. When when Donica Walsh and Murphy go back, James McCarthy won't follow them. James McCarthy will go across and mark Darren O'Sullivan, and Keane will drop. Mm. You know what I mean? So yeah. If you drop any forward back, Dublin will rejig things around and they'll immediately get Keane free, and they're brilliant at doing that.
I know, the problem is, right, the Dublin forward line, if you are to beat Dublin, you have to be on top in five of those six battles, because between the six forwards, if three of them are on it, they're beating you, because you know they all have the scoring capability and they all are so creative as well. So you know it's very hard to trust six backs against probably looking at three or four of the best forwards in the country.
But who's tried it recently? Nobody's actually tried that since Kerry in 2013, and they didn't do too bad. Now people are so spooked now that they're giving Dublin Keane and they can't get the score. You need goals. Without goals, forget about it against Dublin. With Keane O'Sullivan there, your chances of getting goals are massively diminished. So I think Kerry, at least for the first half, have to go like orthodox, try and get a goal or two, and if they want in the second half when they start getting tired, maybe drop back a little bit.
They didn't kill the game in that 2013 when they did get ahead. That was their problem. And I think, you know, you won't see Kerry playing that way, but when they do press, they'll be going for the kill. Like, you know, Mayo did that to us at the weekend. They got their scores and then they retreated and we weren't getting inside them, you know.
Yeah, they could focus on these sort of purple patches.
Yeah,
and
I think they might have a go at maybe 10 minutes in the first and second half. Press drop. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe that's the new way forward.
It's the last 10 minutes of the first half in the last two Dublin Kerry matches that have pretty much done for Kerry as well. Dublin have got key scores towards the end of the first half. So if they are going to try that kind of tight loose, I think it's absolutely essential that they're tight for the last 10 minutes of the first half, because they've nearly been put away in that stage in the last couple of meetings.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's interesting. Mike Quirk was writing a piece, and I love Mike Quirk's piece. I think he's one of the best columnists out there, definitely. And he was talking about Kerry's new tactic, and you know about it, where their retreat, like their full forward line, will go back to the 45 and they'll swarm that middle third. So like a pop ball over their half back line is still on. There's not a full time sweeper there. It's just crowded around that middle section and it's difficult to get through them.
From our point of view, we played Kerry in the Munster final and we tended to go short a lot more. So it played into their hands big time when they wanted to play that game, because, you know, Paul Ganey and Darren O'Sullivan and Stephen O'Brien, who it was that day, they retreated back out to the 65 and it was okay for them to do that. The problem is, if they try and do that against Dublin, like Cluxton's hitting a kick out to maybe out between 45 and 65 and you could be taking maybe three of their players out of the game. Which is the problem.
But they don't have a full-time sweeper in front of you, did they? They don't leave a lad standing there.
They dropped one back kind of towards it. We didn't play with three up though, so you know they always did have an extra man.
You're giving them the half.
It's more so they're squeezing the space rather than playing a full-time sweeper. They didn't at one stage in the second half. Aidan O'Mahony did all right, but I think do they drop off Cluxton's kickouts like Donegal did and invite Dublin onto him? I don't, like, they could get lambasted down in Kerry for doing that.
Yeah.
But the problem is,
if they lose to Dublin,
they're getting lambasted anyway. Mm. So
that's the thing. So they have to do something mad. They have to shock Dublin, because Dublin are just comfortably beating them now. Mm. You know, and the idea that, like, one thing I think mistake they always make is that their half back line man marks. Now I know they're so dangerous, Flynn, Connolly, and Kilkenny, but they're following them all over the field. They're leaving huge space in front of their full back line, and they're getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe follow Connolly, but don't, if Flynn and Kilkenny drop back, let them go.
But the damage Kilkenny's been doing as the extra defender.
That's another thing. I don't think Kilkenny's been doing that much damage at all. I think this is nonsense, honestly.
There's a big focus on the number of possessions.
52 possessions, and he's man of the match. There were one twos.
Well, he's getting them untouched, you know, because he's dropping deep and people aren't marking him. You know, so
I'd agree with you on the Connolly aspect. If you are going to, you know, go tight on one, it has to be him. But if I'm Kerry and let's say, you know, if Kieran Kilkenny is getting 52 possessions, it means Dublin are miles on top, so I'm hoping he's probably not on the ball that much. But yeah, I think I get what you're saying. He didn't really hurt Donegal the last day on the scoreboard.
Killer passes or scores, if it was
one of the other two, I think, you know, Dublin probably win that game by another 5 or 10 points.
Yeah, he's going sideways and he's going backwards a lot. And that's what his 52 possessions were. And what I don't like about Kilkenny the last day is he's doing a lot of pointing at lads of where to run. Almost like
When in possession.
Yeah. Back off, Kieran. Don't tell me where to go, mate. I know where, like, I'm in a senior inter-county player and I've more experience than you. Don't start trying to embarrass me, telling, like, pointing to me where to run. Nonsense, carry on out of Kilkenny. And 100%, Kevin McManaman deserved man of the match the last day. He was by far the best player when it was needed. And just because pundits here,
and even that score in particular with his left foot, you know, when Donegal got on a run, that alone would have put him ahead. Yeah,
there might be a small emphasis in the Dublin team to get the ball to Kilkenny, and they play off his, you know, off his play, if that makes sense. You know, where he goes with the ball, they know what they're doing from there.
But it's not positive though. Like, he's not giving, like Barry said, he's not giving killer passes. He's not opening up defences. He's getting ball, giving it, taking it. Now, okay, and in his defence, it was against Donegal where there's not too many openings. So like, maybe he was just playing keep ball to pull them out or something. So it won't be too hard on him. But absolutely not deserving of man of the match though. The
not
directly
making him sound like Gaelic football's Jordan Henderson, which was never a good thing to be.
I was going to go with Sergio Busquets. Yeah, so.
That's
well,
nicer.
That's it's interesting. The thing about the halfback line, and like, Dublin seem to be blowing Kerry away in the last 10 minutes, and it's always like Kerry don't have the legs, but they don't have the legs to follow a Flynn, a Kilkenny or a Connolly, who are incredible athletes. And the Kerry lads can't follow them. But so why bother following them? They can't hurt. Look, Dermot Connolly can hurt you out there because he can give a beautiful ball, but let Kilkenny and Flynn off and just meet them when they come back down and conserve your energy. And
so that's why you're focus on maybe Mark O'Shea playing centre back.
And not
have to run whatever it is, 7 or 8 kilometres in a match.
I honestly think it's a no brainer. Put Mark O'Shea centre half back, let him mark Kilkenny and let Kilkenny off. Don't man mark Kilkenny, because you know, let a Paul Murphy meet, you know, if you're retreating fellas into the middle third, someone will pick and choose your runs, be selective. Do not man mark Kilkenny by all means, but let Mark O'Shea stay in that sweeper role. He's brilliant on the ball.
Man mark Connolly,
sorry. Mark O'Shea is brilliant on the ball. He's got a great brain, and his distribution's brilliant, so he's not going to get turned over coming out with it. He's going to do the right thing all the time. And like, if he doesn't have the legs for you know, cornerback, which probably doesn't now, and Bernard Brogan's got the better of him the last few times. But
still,
he's certainly
he's
a winner, and he's not afraid of Dublin. He's the he's the man you want around that area.
Yeah, if you're a Kerry guy, you'd love him in your team. I mean, in the league final there back in April, I think after 5 minutes, Mark made a run the whole length of the pitch up the Cusack stand and took a shot and put it wide. And sometimes that's a good, you know, a good thing. You're after making a big burst, and Bernard Brogan, they hadn't chased him, and it can look bad. But he actually looked wrecked then for the next 7 or 8 minutes. So it wasn't a clever thing to do. So, you know, if you actually learn from that and just say, I'm going to pick and choose my runs, whether it's Kieran Kilkenny or someone else comes into the Kerry half, then I'm actually going to man mark him and stuff like that. But yeah, get on the ball back there and be just an extra body and a stopper around there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see Paul Murphy playing in the back line the next day.
On Connolly maybe, or will Crowley pick him up?
I think if they want to get James O'Donoghue into the team, I think the Kerry boys, they have a lot of time for Stephen O'Brien and Darren O'Sullivan. So I don't see either of them, you know, dropping out. So I maybe could see Paul Murphy maybe moving back to the half back line.
Which isn't the worst idea anyways.
I think he's been outstanding for Kerry this year. His work rate has been absolutely through the roof, and you know, he's shown the football ability and the football brain he has too. So I think it mightn't be the worst case scenario for Kerry's perspective, because I'd see him in the same role as what Lee Keegan maybe did against Connolly, playing as the half back and getting forward as well. I think it could be an option for him.
He also, as good a defender as he is, he's a wonderful defender, but he's not the attacker that's going to hurt Dublin, is he? And if you've already got Donegal Walsh, who is an accomplished attacker, but playing that kind of defensive role, do you really want to have an out-and-out defender playing in your half-forward line as well? Because you are going to have to score to beat Dublin, and I think bringing in a dedicated attacker and moving Murphy back to where he is most comfortable, I think that's a bit of a no-brainer myself.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. And Donica Walsh, I don't think he has the legs to play that role anymore. He's just so much running. It's like retreat when Dublin have the ball, and then he's getting back up to support.
It's a long way back up.
It's a long way back up. Yeah. And players don't have the engine for that. Like, and you see Mickey Hart with his half-forward line. Usually his two wing forwards come off at 50, 55 minutes, regardless of how they're playing.
Probably
they're
just
coming
said
off
to half-time, give me 15 minutes,
exactly,
max out.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, so Donica needs to be withdrawn. If he's going to play that role, he needs to be withdrawn. So we're basically saying Kerry continue on the retreat into the 65, but every second 10 minutes there's a power play where they're pushing up and they're playing orthodox and they're trying to get the goal
the
in that 10 minutes
and they're probing for the goal.
If the goal comes, huge lift, this is what we planned. let's get back. Mm. A shout comes from the sideline. And you know, lads, I think
the problem is now, knowing Kerry, they are not going to do one thing that we've said in the studio. Do you know? They'll throw something left field at Dublin. I
think will they, though? Do you really think they will? They have to.
I take your point completely. Dublin have squeezed the life out of the rest of the top four teams in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years in both league and championship, apart from, you know, the Donegal blip. Mm. The rest of them, they've dominated every single game, and nobody has asked them a different question, you know, and I'm not sure what that question is going to be, but it is going to be, it'll be something that we haven't seen before.
I really think that if you're going power play and you're going orthodox for that 10 minutes, suddenly Keane O'Sullivan is marking Darren O'Sullivan and he's rattled because he's trying to drop off and he's trying to orchestrate someone else to pick him up because he wants to drop. Everyone else is in their orthodox position, so there's nobody really there. Suddenly he's pushed out, a few long balls to Donaghy. This is what we worked on, lay it off, goal. The lift something like that planned would give Kerry is incredible, and suddenly this is working, lads.
You could see the 2014 final against Donegal when Gainey got the goal. It was something that they had pre-planned, and the lift
and Gainey's so good in the air too.
Fantastic, great hands, great over his head, you know. And the lift it gave to the whole Kerry team inside the first 5 minutes, that, you know, the game plan that they were going to go after in that All Ireland final was working. I think,
but they need to unsettle Keane O'Sullivan.
100%. That has to be central to their game plan, and there's no doubt about that, because Dublin are like, they're just comfortable doing it. And like, you look, Johnny Cooper's full back, like, it's no brainer. He's not tall, and Johnny's not known for his fielding either. Now he'll break and spoil, but Donaghy, I don't know who will actually pick him up. Will Davy Byrne? Philly McMahon might pick him up. He'll have the strength, Philly will break it too, but he's not a fetcher either. So it'll get Joy. And if they have Philly on Donaghy, who's going to mark Gainey? Because either of the other two will not match Gainey in the air. And if their diagonal balls, like Kerry, are brilliant at giving, no one in full back line is good at catching them, because it's a forwards ball, Michael. Yeah, you know yourself, you peel off and he's backtracking and you can't jump when you're backtracking.
You could have the all-star full back line there and it's still, they're going to be in bother.
So, you know, they can get an awful lot of joy in those little 10 minutes if that's the way to go. But it has to be, like you said, Dublin have to be taken out of their comfort zone and they have to be shocked and the crowd has to be shut up and etc. All these things that you have to talk about when you play Dublin.
If Murphy does go back into the half back line, you could probably see Darren O'Sullivan on the at wing forward, and I don't think that's the right place for him. I think you mentioned earlier, he's the perfect guy to upset Keane O'Sullivan. He upsets Dublin anyway. There's something about his speed, the fact he just kind of puts the head down and runs at Dublin. It always unsettles him. He always gets 2 or 3 points from play against Dublin, even if he comes on as a sub.
I think Darren or Gooch will play centre forward. I think that's definite. I think it'll probably be Darren. I think they'll keep Gooch in reserve.
The lift it gives to the Kerry team, Kerry public, seeing Gooch coming off the bench is worth, you know, 2 or 3 points to him at a vital stage.
And another thing as well is that if Gooch plays centre half forward, I can guarantee you they'll put Philly McMahon on him, and whoever's marking Donica will pick up Philly's man and let Donica off, because Philly McMahon will just go forward and Gooch's heart will be broken. And Dublin actually see Gooch as a weak link there. They'll completely twist it around to put Philly on him.
They feel that Philly McMahon has a psychological you know, edge on Gooch, so I don't think Gooch will start now. I think it'd be very hard for him to produce 70-75 minutes of top quality football against this Dublin team. He has struggled the last couple of years, obviously, you know, with injuries etc. as well. He's not in top form, so I think him coming on with 20-25 minutes to go, game still in the melting pot, that he'd be able to be a lot more effective. And Darren O'Sullivan is back to, you know, really good form. Came on in the final last year, probably one of the only Kerry guys that did themselves justice in the final last year. I had the inevitable task of marking Darren in 2007 All Ireland semi-final. He came on for 15 minutes, so imagine after I think Galvin or Brosnan for 55 minutes and seeing this fella coming on. So he's a real handful, and
hamstrings start hurting you then. Treatment.
It leaves Kerry with a lot of, well, like, going by the team that we've maybe had a go at having a stab at there, it leaves Kerry with a lot of, you know, tall guys on the bench who can make a difference around the middle of the field. You know, you're probably looking at maybe taking out your two midfielders and putting on two new midfielders to go toe to toe with Dublin at midfield, between, you know, Sheehan, Moore, Anthony Maher, Johnny Buckley.
Yeah. You know, Johnny Buckley scored 1-7 in a club game last weekend, so he's back into the record. You know, he could be the rabbit out of the hat, Mark Fenton. So we wanted to get onto the midfield battle, because actually with Dublin, there's so little talking points with Dublin, because it's always the talk is how do you beat Dublin? You know, Dublin are so good, we know how they're going to play. They're an outstanding team. Keane will drop back. You know, they're powerful everywhere.
Settled team.
The only one talking point about it is who plays beside Fenton, because I have a feeling he'll go with Bastic, because Gavin gets a little bit spooked by, you know, if Kerry, for example, were to go with that full orthodox formation, then maybe Bastic can drop back. You know what I mean? He has that extra defensive option, and I don't think he likes playing McCauley against a team that he's a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, I agree with that, because even though Michael Darren McCauley is a top player when he's in form, you know, and he gives you so much going forward, he is lacking that a bit at the moment. And I thought in the last couple of games, some of the opposition players got past him quite easily, which is very unlike Michael Darren. You know, he's so powerful at when he's on the ball, but also in stopping guys as well. And, you know, going into last year's final, Michael Darragh had played really well, I think, coming on against Mayo in the drawn game, then didn't play so well in the replay, and people still thought he was going to play in the final. I never thought he was going to start the final, because Jim Gavin would have felt the safe option was Dennis Bastic.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm going to get out of Dennis Bastic week in, week out. You know, he's going to do this job, and also with Brian Fenton being so young and his first All-Ireland final, he wanted just that bit of safety and reassurance. So the thing with Dennis, though, is how many minutes he can get out of him. You know, he sort of, I'd say this will be his last year. You know, they're managing very well, because I think Dennis gets every fourth training session off, you know, because he's 34, 35 years of age.
That's great, isn't it?
They're trying to manage his body, so he stays.
He makes up for by attending every press conference, though. He's a pair of hands on the pitch and at a press conference. Dennis is your man if you want a press conference.
So I'd say maybe you could get 45, 50 minutes of good stuff out of Dennis. Do all the simple things right, break the ball, you know, maybe act like an extra shield to the defence.
Yeah, and he's good at that.
And he's very good at that. And, but you know, you're going to get with him.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect foil for Fenton, and Fenton, you know, break forward, do what you want, field ball in midfield. But Dennis, if they're going orthodox six, I want you dropping off, you know, David Moran, for example, and just going back in there, Anthony Maher, leave them around midfield and go back and help out the defence.
Yeah, I think it depends on what way Jim Gavin sees Kerry lining up at midfield. I think, you know, if let's say Kerry go Moran and Sheehan at midfield, that's two very attack-minded midfielders, I would say anyway, you know, who are very good kick passers of the ball. So you probably definitely would want Dennis Bastic in there to maybe go on Moran and leave Brian Fenton on Sheehan.
Can't see Sheehan starting.
I can't either. No. Who do you think will start for Kerry in midfield?
I think Anthony Maher will.
Yeah?
I think he gives them he gives them solidity there that I don't think they've had this year so far. And after, like,
and does he go on Fenton then?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think, but the problem is, like, will Fenton have too much legs for Moran? I think it's a huge issue for Kerry.
He will. It is a huge issue.
You know, do they bring Johnny Buckley in and let him?
I think bring
Fenton.
Johnny Buckley in and say, do not touch the ball. Midfielders hate man marking each other. Mm. They like you play. There's an ego in midfielders, isn't there? Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
I have no problem kicking three points and let the man
and
kick
I'll try and kick three.
I won't tackle you if you don't tackle me.
Yeah, that's
the truth. It's the way it is.
It's
always been that way with midfielders. It's like they never man mark each other. If you're good enough to get the better of me, do it. But we're going to fetch. I'm going to fetch with you. And in general play, I'm going to get the better of you. And look, I'm not going to degrade myself by man marking. Johnny Buckley, degrade yourself and mark him like you're a defender.
Yeah, like, look, I think Kerry did a number on Gary Brennan the same way in the quarterfinals, so it might be a case that maybe I'm look at doing something similar against Brian.
But if you're saying Buckley, Brennan.
Yeah. But if you're saying Buckley, you know, scored 1-7 last week, would he maybe not be tempted to be an attacking midfielder?
I'm saying Buckley because Buckley would have legs probably for Fenton. You know, he might be able to stay with him and he might be able to spoil him.
Yeah.
That's the reason I would go for him, because I don't think Moran has it, I don't think Maher has it, and Sheehan definitely doesn't have it. Not when he's breaking forward. Whether Buckley has that defensive...
Is that a home for Paul Murphy?
Paul Murphy on Fenton.
Jesus Christ. He's only up to his hip, I think.
See, you can spoil him by hanging on to him.
He could actually jump on Fenton's back and just be carried along. It's like me playing international rules that year.
Piggyback.
It's a complete mismatch. But yeah, it's hard to know what to do. I think it'll be Moran and one other. I do think Moran has to play in Croke Park in a big game like that. I think he's the class midfielder down in Kerry.
And he'll have put a lot of pressure on himself for this game, you know, because you know, he was nearly favourite for Footballer of the Year at one stage last year going into the Tyrone semi-final. And, you know, he had two poor games then going at the end of the season. Didn't play well again in the National League final this year. So he will have Brian Fenton on his mind, I'd say, for the last number of months and this date in particular.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll be really keen on delivering.
The thing about having Anthony Maher and Moran is that one of them will mark Fenton, head off to one side of the field, and the other one will have a, you know, an aerial advantage over Bastic or McCauley. You know what I mean? If you go with the two big lads, that's an option, because Kerry kickouts will obviously, like, they like to go along with them, although they're changing it a little bit this year, Michael.
Yeah, their full back line doesn't seem too involved in their kickouts. They try to get narrow and maybe suck you in a small bit so that they can maybe chip
hit the
it
wings
out and you know, try and find the two taller guys, you know, where you're hitting them at head height and it's not an aerial battle as such. I can't see the ball being kicked out to the middle of the field from a Kerry point of view.
No.
That much, no. I don't think it'll be long ball, if that makes sense. It'll be maybe 45.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of ball. It's an intriguing one, I think. Yeah,
I think it Kerry is. Could be in trouble with the kickouts.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with Kelly or Keely in goals, to be honest. And they're maybe, you know, short to medium length kicks. Granted, you know, any inter-county goalkeeper can bang it 70 yards down the middle. But this chipped kick out towards the 45, you know, Dublin will press up, you know, man on man. You could get an easy turnover. And, you know, when they're put down the ball and go to take a quick kick, I'm not overly comfortable watching it.
No.
You know, I think there's a recipe for disaster there somewhere.
There's a lot of pressure in Croke Park receiving a short kick out against Dublin, because they're on in your face. And suddenly, like, think about the short kick out, Kerry need to conserve their energy a little bit. Like I said, the halfback line needs to hold. If they're working too hard, Dublin will get them the last 10 minutes. If you're going short all the time, it's an awful long way up.
Yeah,
I remember Daryl O'Shea always
we fell into that trap.
Yeah, you did. You went short with everyone.
We had, I think, was it 95% possession off our own kick outs, and we scored once off our own kick out, which is, you know,
you've just too far to go.
It's exactly, and you're putting so much pressure on your back line. They're trying so hard to keep out one of the best forward lines in the country, and then you're trying to give him the ball and tell him go at him, and the other
and, you're vulnerable if you turn it over.
Yeah,
you
know, and like, that's nearly what Kerry should do, is just give Cluxton the corner back, because Cluxton will go. Cluxton's confident enough to go and stay tight everywhere else, but allow one corner back free and just say, right, let Dublin work that out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, instead of trying to push up on everybody, and then Cluxton's going to pick out his man anyway, and he'll pick out Flynn or Connolly way up the field. Almost go, say, here you go, we're going to leave you Davy Byrne every single time, free, chip it to him, and then we'll put, you know what I mean, we'll make ye work hard for every one of your kickouts.
Over the course of the year, it just looks so easy for Dublin to get a move up the pitch with the ball. I mean, there's been times there Johnny Cooper is in acres of space and Stephen comes out with his left foot, clips it to the right hand side to
Johnny. Team's playing defensively against
and then Johnny runs 30 yards, passes it to someone who's free, and then Keane or James McCarthy runs 30 yards and passes it to someone free, and all of a sudden they're in scoring range, and it's like no one has put a finger on them. Barely an opposition player is even in the frame of the
we're so wound up by the fact that, like, you don't want Connolly, Flynn or Brogan, Paddy Andrews, Kevin McManaman on the ball,
really,
so you're
deep.
You're saying, okay lads, you can have it, but the problem is you're forgetting just how good those that don't have
and maybe lads are getting breeders or something like that as well, and they just don't have the energy that
they're defending, you know? Deep, they're only leaving two forwards off, so Dublin chip it out, and they've so many backs there that can just easily work it until they meet the 45. But what I'm saying is, like, give the corner back, but his man be ready to get down, and then you're manning up everywhere, you know, and just make it more difficult for Dublin to
as an armchair viewer and as a very, very bad goalkeeper, I hate it when the opposition leave Dublin as a short kick out, because one of my favourite sights in Gaelic football is a Stephen Cluxton kick out, a proper one, you know, one that he has to work for, one that the team, it's possibly the most impressive thing Dublin do, and it mightn't make sense for the opposition, but it always slightly depresses me when they give Dublin Davy Byrne.
I don't think Kerry will be worried about your depression.
I'm going to have a word with them tomorrow down in Killarney. I'm just going to say, from an aesthetic point of view,
100% Cluxton in full flow is outstanding. But, like, I mean,
he does get animated though.
He does,
you know,
he gets annoyed,
and, like, he does get annoyed, and
he's a contrary man.
He's a cranky enough individual, and
most goalkeepers are though.
I was actually chatting,
except really bad ones like
I was chatting to Alan Brogan about it yesterday, and that's what we were saying, that, like, he does get animated, and if things aren't going well, or if he doesn't feel basically the backs are doing a good enough job, he gets pissed off, you know, and then if there's no one showing for the kickouts, all of a sudden he starts flapping his arms, and, like, the opposition and the crowd pick up on that quite easily, and he I think kicked a couple of kickouts over the sideline at the start of the All-Ireland final last year, and you know the Kerry fans went wild for that, you know, so you can get at him like that, but it takes a lot to get to that level.
Is it true in the Dublin squad, if somebody was in bad form and in a bit of a, you know, contrary mood, the lads would say, ah, he's having a clucko?
I think that has happened a few times. All right, yeah, I used to sit beside him in the dressing room, so you're coming into a moany head every evening.
All right, we'll leave it there, lads. Up next, we'll do predictions.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're talking about, where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient, but this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know what I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around, but you're looking at me, you're looking
out
at
of
me
a crowded area, isn't it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
All right, lads, we'll be fast enough with this. The betting this weekend is Dublin are 2-5, Kerry 11-4. Just incredible prices. Kerry nearly 3-1. Like, I mean, if that hasn't got their wick up, you know, nothing will. 3-1 outsiders against Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final. It's just a reflection on how bloody good Dublin are and how, you know, how the last few games have gone. Handicap, Dublin -3 are 6-5. Kerry +3 are 10-11. So, Barry, what would you go for there?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are very generous odds. Reminds me, unfortunately, of 2009 when Dublin were going in as heavy favourites and Kerry gave us a bit of a hammering. But I think it'll be a 2-point game. I think it'll be very tight. I think Kerry will get a couple of goals and really put it up to Dublin. And I think there'll be a huge, huge ask on a lot of Dublin players to get to that top level because they've been cruising through the whole year. But I think come the 75 minute, I think Dublin will just about edge over the line and get through to the final.
Okay, so Kerry +3 is a good bet. Yep. for you there. Mikey, we'll go with you next.
I'm going to give Dublin the 3 points. I think Dublin with the handicap, I just think they've proven over the last 2-3 years that they are just a better football team and they're only improving. But may I just add with a caveat, if you ask me that again tomorrow in McSorley's, I will say Kerry win.
Yeah, you wimp out. I'll be the pantomime villain then tomorrow night. Michael, what do you think?
I've talked and talked and basically talked myself out of, you know, like Dublin can't lose this, but for some reason I have it in my head that Kerry are going to win. Right. And I don't know why. I got the same feeling before the 2014 All-Ireland final against Donegal when that game was on. It's like Kerry are going to win this and there's no other way about it.
Yeah.
I just have it in my head for this Sunday. I don't know why. The handicap won't be beaten.
Won't be, okay.
Definitely. I don't think that'll happen because there won't be more than 3 points in this, even though Dublin win by 10 points.
So you'll go for a Kerry win?
I'll go for a Kerry win.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a Kerry win and I'm going to go for a Mayo win. If Dublin win, I don't think Dublin win the All-Ireland. I've made up my mind. I think, you know, one important thing to point out is when Mayo beat Dublin in the All-Ireland final in 2013, wasn't it, in the semi-final when they shocked them?
2012, Mayo beat Dublin in the semi-final.
Oh, yeah, 2012. Mm. Dublin, they were given no chance that year either, but Dublin were defending it. I don't know what the psychology is, Barry. You'll know because you've won one.
We celebrated for about 5 months.
Exactly. Now I know Dublin are a different place now, where
more mature
and more mature, and an All-Ireland win isn't as big a deal as 2011. But to retain it, and I don't want to go down to hunger because we don't mention hunger here when we're analysing stuff, but there is, Kerry, reading these pieces, like, I mean, their whole reputations, their whole lives are on the line here. Yeah. Like, I mean, and they have the players to
hurt
Dublin.
Some of those players can't retire, having lost to Dublin 4 times in a row.
For that reason, I think Kerry have nowhere else to go. Fitzmaurice could get the sack if they lose. Yeah. I just think that Kerry are not afraid of Dublin. Kerry have the forwards to get those goals. And I think that if Kerry don't beat Dublin, I think Mayo, I don't think Dublin win the All-Ireland, making that call. And I'll just go sneaky for Kerry for the reasons that, like, they're just losing is not an option for them anymore. And that's like a mad thing to say for Kerry. Yeah. They're 3-1 outsiders. So I'll go for Kerry. So we've got a Dublin, we've got a Kerry, we've got a Dublin and Kerry. 2-2. So, like, this and that, it's evenly matched.
Yeah.
Right, we'll leave it there, boys. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks to all the lads for dropping in. Michael, special guest. See, it wasn't that hard in the end. Easier than Mark and Lee Keegan even.
Pam's dried up after a couple of minutes. You're all right.
Thanks to everybody for putting the show together. Evan, Dion, Conan and Mikey. Thanks to Barry, who's a regular guest. We'll see you all in McSorley's tomorrow night. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at sportsjoe_GEA and subscribe to us on iTunes. McSorley's, Killarney, County Kerry at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. See you all then. Good luck.
Yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.